Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hello and welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. My name is Laura Jackson.
And I'm Amanda Quinn.
And we are the Fit Chicks. And today we have an awesome topic that we're talking about, which I know, Amanda, is one of your favorites. Well, it's not the full topic, but we're going to talk about poop.
Why is that one of my favorites?
Because we talk about poop a lot, and I think that poop talk, it's got to become more mainstream because so much to do with your health is involved with your poop, right? And like, True. You and I do talk about poop a lot. Let's be honest here.
Yeah, we definitely, I mean, we were just recently talking about it because I was weirded out about it, but I went to the doctor and all is good, so it's okay.
But just before we get into this, because actually, whoever's listening, if before you turn this off thinking it's all about poop, we're actually going to be talking about fiber. We have an awesome question from one of our listeners. But I just want to loop back to what you just said, because that is an awesome thing that you used your poop as an indicator, seeing that something was off, that you went to the doctor to see, you know what I mean? Like, what's going on? Whereas most people, they just think, you know, having not going to the bathroom, AKA being constipated, or having constant diarrhea is just completely normal. They don't even blink an eye. So.
Totally. Yeah. I know. I do think that a lot of people probably, they're just going to the bathroom. No big deal. But I pay a lot of attention to it. How many times a day, like what the consistency is, all of those things. Cause it is a great indicator. It tells you a lot about your health. It tells you a lot about what's going on in your life. It turns out for me, it's just basically stress related, but I think it's also to do with the pregnancy. Just a lot of body changes happening. So it's totally fine. All my results came back fine, but I am personally am the type of person that I would rather know than not know so that I can actually begin to fix it if there is a bigger problem or figure out some sort of a solution.
Like so. you're a toilet looker. Like I'm a toilet looker. I turn around after I go to the bathroom, I look in the toilet to see what's going on.
Well, yeah, I think it's important too.
Yeah, and I do too. So for anyone who's listening, before we get into the fiber question, and we will stop talking about poop full on, just take a peek in the toilet after you go to the bathroom and see. You know, there shouldn't be food particles in there. It should be solid, but, you know, soft. There's actually a chart called the Bristol Stool Chart, and it will show you what the perfect poop looks like. If you Google Bristol Stool Chart, you will see what your poop should be looking like, and if it's not looking like that, it might be because of the lack of fiber in your diet, and that is what we're getting into today. So we had a question from Susie, who she wrote in saying, quick cue, I keep hearing that I should be eating a high fiber diet, but I'm not sure, A, what to eat, B, what types of fiber I need to be eating, and C, how much do I need each day? There's too much confusing information out there, so please just break it down for me. Thanks.
Great question, because it's true. I think we're inundated with so much information that it's like some people like eat more fiber, and then there's like take Metamucil, and then don't do this, and just drink more water, and there's so much out there that tells you so much misleading information. So hopefully we can help break it down and make it a little less confusing today.
Completely. And I always find too, we do have a podcast coming up soon too about gluten, which is going to be really interesting. I just find, you know, in the nutrition world, we go through waves where things become really popular, you know, like suddenly it's like gluten-free is really popular or high fiber is really popular. And you'll know what's, you know, what the trend is by walking into your grocery store and seeing what that, you know, big sticker on the box looks like. When in all reality, most of the foods that are naturally high in fiber or naturally gluten-free, like apples, broccoli, things like that, they don't need stickers because they don't have a nutrition label. But let's get into, first of all, what is fiber? So, you know, we think of fiber as bran. Right away, people are always like, oh, eat all bran. But fiber is actually...
I love all bran, though. Don't knock all bran. I know it's not, like, the best for you because it's processed, but it just tastes so delicious.
And you know why it tastes so delicious? Because it's so high in sugar. It's crazy.
Oh, I know. No, I know. I don't eat it anymore. I used to. I used to eat it because I thought it was a really healthy breakfast. I used to have All Bran with a sliced banana and almond milk every day.
So did I. Well, I didn't have the sliced banana.
Well, I can't get away with not having a banana.
I know you love those sweet narners. Okay, so what is fiber? Fiber, it's basically the part, it's part of the structure of plants. So it helps plants actually grow. Like it's part of the, what's the word? It's basically like it's the cellulose. And what happens with fiber is that it cannot be broken down by the body. It's actually, it has no calories to it. It is a carbohydrate, so it is under the category of carbohydrates. So if you look on your nutrition label, you'll see fiber under carbohydrates. But the difference is that it has no impact on the body because it cannot be broken down by the body and used for energy. So carbohydrates are used for energy. And that's why a lot of times if you look at a nutrition label and if you see something that has 10 grams of carbohydrates, and then you look underneath that and you see the fiber grams, it just says 5 grams of fiber, that means that that food actually only has 5 grams of carbohydrates that is broken down by the body for energy. And the rest of it has the purpose of basically adding bulk and slowing down digestion. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it totally does.
I think that's where a lot of people get confused because especially if someone's going on like a low carb diet, they'll look at, they're constantly looking at the carbohydrate content. But the thing is, you do need to minus the fiber from that. It's called net carbs and or impact carbs. So those are the carbs that will actually have the impact on blood sugar. Fiber has no impact on blood sugar.
Right. That used to be like a huge thing on, I remember back like years ago when I did that whole low carb diet craze and I basically lived off of food at GNC. So it wasn't really food. It was just processed weird frankenfood. And it was like, yeah, because it was like, oh, like here's some like fake bread and it tastes like sponges, but the net carb was like one. So I'm like, sweet, I'll eat it. Because I remember everything before that was like the trend, what you're talking about earlier about how certain things have trends. The trend before was always to show what the net carbs were.
Yeah. And a lot of those foods, they add in fiber, but it's not, you know, Mother Nature's type of fiber that comes from the plants, the fruits, the veggies, the seeds. It's more
chemical based frankenfood stuff.
Yeah. And it wreaks a lot of havoc on our tummies. But, yeah. So that's essentially what fiber is. So there are two different types though, and they both have no calories. They both don't impact blood sugar. But we need to make sure that we're getting both of these types. So the first one is called soluble fiber. Mm-hmm. And soluble fiber, it's really what it does is it slows down your digestion because it attracts water and it becomes like almost like gummy, like jelly-ish. Like have you ever, you know when you soak chia seeds?
Yeah.
And you know how it turns into that mucilaginous, like jelly kind of...
I know what you're talking about. I can't eat it. Yeah.
No, it's so funny because I remember just doing this the first time that I ever made a green smoothie and I put chia seeds in it and I left it, like I made it, left it on the counter, you know, did my morning thing to get ready, came back to drink my smoothie and it was like a jello. Like I almost threw up. So jello-y. Some people like that, but really what ends up happening, it turns to that in your tummy. So it's not like, you know, you don't have to drink it in that form. It actually turns to that in your tummy. And what it does is like I said, it slows down the digestion. So it makes your body, it basically takes your body longer to process the foods that you eat and empty out your stomach. So it's going to make you feel fuller longer. And it's also really great because it's got that awesome jelly substance that it pulls out a lot of toxins throughout your digestive system as you go along. So it keeps things moving because it's nice and soft and jelly-ish.
So it essentially like, it's almost like it attracts all of the like excess stuff and like pulls it along with it.
Yeah. Cause when you think about it, like a lot of times.
I almost think about like a slug.
No, it's true. That's kind of like when you see like a snail, like a slimy snail, that's almost what, but it's good. Like I always think about it like, oh, it keeps things moving cause it's nice and, you know, squishy and it pulls all the bad things along. So like foods that would have soluble fiber would be things like apples, nuts, flax seeds, chia seeds, a lot of like the beans and the lentils. It's also found in berries, oat bran, stuff like that. So that's the stuff that's got, it will stay nice and soft. But then you have the other type of fiber, which is the insoluble fiber. So this is the one we think about a lot because insoluble fiber is the one that adds the bulk to your poop. So it makes your poop hard.
Okay. So that's stuff like what kind of things would be insoluble fibers?
That would be more like a lot of the roughage, like things that, you know what I mean, when you're eating foods that are a lot more, like you'll know even from chewing them. So a lot of like the root vegetables, like broccoli, all of the cruciferous vegetables, like cabbage, broccoli, Brussels sprouts.
Cauliflower, that kind of thing?
Yeah. A lot more of like brown rice, barley, grains, things like that. But the thing with insoluble fiber is it's awesome because it also helps to speed up your digestion. So a lot of times, you know, if you'll eat foods that are really high in insoluble fiber, you might not know that they're high in insoluble fiber, but suddenly you got to go to the bathroom pretty quickly.
Right. Now, would you say, because there's the two different types, would you say that we need both types?
Mm-hmm.
Totally. So do you recommend, like, so there's not one that is better than the other. They kind of like balance each other out, right?
Yeah, like you need like a mix of them because they each have kind of a different purpose. Like the insoluble, like I said, it adds the bulk to the poop. So it makes it form into, you know what I mean? Like a nice log, for lack of a better word. That sounds so
good. Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like a lot of times if people are having a lot of diarrhea or things, they need more fiber in their diet. Or a lot of times if people are constipated, they need more fiber in their diet. But the thing is, if you're constipated, you need to make sure that you're drinking a lot of water to get stuff moving. Because sometimes when you've been constipated for a long time and you add a lot of fiber, next thing you know, you're really backed up because things want to move. But you know what I mean? Like it's been so long. Like some people, it's insane. Like some people have, like, no joke, like 30-year-old poop still lining their intestines.
How is that even possible?
Because it ends up building up against the walls of your bowel. And a lot of times when we're eating constantly processed crappy foods, it builds up and it's like super stuck to the edge. So that's why even sometimes when you go to the bathroom, when people have really small, skinny poos, it could be that, you know, there's too much in the channel. We got to clean out the whole thing. And that comes from diet.
Is that why colonics are so popular?
Yeah, colonics are...
That's what it gets rid of, is like all that excess. I can't believe we're still talking about poop. We're supposed to be talking about fiber. I'm sorry, everybody.
But the thing is, we go hand in hand. And I think we need to get people not afraid of poop talk. It should be like, obviously you don't need to talk about it at the dinner table, but if you're not pooping, you're having some problems.
No, for sure. But so, yeah. So my question about colonics is then essentially that is, basically, if you do have a lot of backed up, built up poop inside of you and just, you know, stuff that's not really, you know, getting cleansed from your body naturally, that's the purpose of a colonic, correct? Because I know that, again, was also a trend years ago where everybody was doing colonics, but they were doing it like before events and stuff to like lose 5 pounds. So essentially they were just losing like 5 pounds of built up poop.
Well, yeah, like that's definitely one of the purposes of it. And colonics have always been huge in like the natural medicine world. And I know people who swear by them for long-term health. Because again, you know, when you're carrying around a lot of excess toxins, essentially in your body, that is wreaking havoc on your overall system. You know, you got to get this stuff out. It's your elimination. Like it's elimination for a reason because your body doesn't want it. It doesn't need it, you know?
Right.
So colonics definitely do help that along. And that's why you usually don't just go for one colonic if you're doing it for like actual to, you know, get rid of long-term stuff. You would do a series of colonics. And yeah, I know people who like totally swear by it.
Right.
But it, you know, for the everyday person, the best thing to do is just starting to eat a mix of soluble and insoluble fiber and lots of water, you know, which is basically, you know, lots of these natural foods we talked about and getting things moving along.
for sure. And how much fiber do you recommend then for our listeners out there? Like what, for in one day, what would you recommend is like the ideal, I feel like I'm interviewing you. What would you say is the ideal scenario for a daily intake of fiber?
Well, I would recommend at least between 30 to 40 grams. So okay. If you were just say to eat 200 grams of carbohydrates a day, out of those 200 grams of carbohydrates, 40 grams of those would be from fiber. And it sounds like a lot, but if you're eating a lot of these natural, real whole foods, like all of these, you know, berries and root vegetables and oat bran and things like that, it's going to be very easy to hit that number. We always talk about the complete in three rule, which is a protein, fiber, and a fat at every meal. So if you just say have six, between three meals and three snacks a day, let's say, and you focus on having 5 grams at each of those, mm-hmm. which is very easy to do. Again, if you have a serving of broccoli or, you know, like even for example, like one cup of cooked lentils has 15 grams. So right there, you're already halfway to your daily needs. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Even if you think like with the complete three, you do 5 grams at each meal, then you're going to hit that no problem.
Cool.
Yeah. So just staying on that then, it's like, you know, I just mentioned the lentils, but there's like a lot of foods out there too that are really high in fiber that, not that people don't think about, but some of the best ones from, you know, natural sources are things like split peas. Lentils are great. The one I always think that it's funny because I never think to eat these. I see them in the grocery store. It's figs.
Like, oh, I really like figs.
Me too. And one cup of dried figs has 14 grams of fiber in it.
I always eat them at David's Nona's house. She always has figs.
They're fantastic. Like fresh or like dried ones with, I love them with goat cheese and walnuts. Ooh.
Oh, we always just have them fresh. They're so good.
Yeah, they're delicious fresh too. Another one that's really awesome, which has become really popular now in the market for that's super high in fiber, is coconut flour to bake with. So if you look again at the nutrition label for coconut flour, it will look like it's super high in carbohydrates, but most of those carbohydrates are actually from fiber. So I think it's like if you look at 100 grams of coconut flour at the bulk burn, it's like 77 grams of carbohydrates. And then when you look right under it and see the fiber number, it's like 66 grams of that is pure fiber. And that's why when you bake with it, if you do any gluten-free baking, if anyone's tried it yet with coconut flour and it comes out like a brick, that's because it's got a lot of fiber in it.
So what happens then? Just scale back the fiber a little bit?
Well, when it comes...
The flour a little, or maybe do a mix of the two if you don't want the brick texture.
Yeah, like I'm not super good with any type of gluten-free baking, but I know there's like different ratios. Like you definitely want to do a mix of flours, and you add something. I can't remember if it's xanthan gum or tapioca starch. There's something you add in that will help to, reenact that gluten quality. Because gluten just makes things sticky, whereas like coconut flour just becomes like stodge. But one more food that I think that's really awesome that because people eat on the daily and they don't think that it has a lot of fiber in it is raspberries and blackberries. So, and they're the best fruits because they're low sugar. So again, they don't have that huge impact on blood sugar when you're eating them alone. They're packed with antioxidants and a cup of each of them has 8 grams of fiber in it. So, you know, it's very easy to eat a cup of raspberries like, and they're delicious and that's 8 grams right there.
I was going to say, that's probably one of the easiest ones, really.
Because how much, like, how often do you throw it in a smoothie as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so those are, hopefully Susie's getting lots of information and has not jumped off because all we've been talking about is poop. The one thing, though, I just want to add to that is, so these are some of the highest, like, high fiber foods to eat. The best thing to do, again, is just focus on, when you're eating high fiber, focus on real whole foods. Do not fall trap for all these marketing things because those are the ones you want to avoid. Like when you're looking at Fiber One bars or even right now, there's a big thing with Quest bars and they have, if you look again, their label, yes, they have 25 grams of carbs, but they also have like 20 grams of fiber. And it is from it's a plant-based, it is plant-based fiber, but I can't remember the name of it. It's similar to this one you can find online called VitaFiber. It's like this, it's almost like a white glue, but it's fiber. But a lot of times these types of fibers, they're very irritating to the gut. So if you have any type of digestive issues, or even if you don't, you might eat them, get really bloated. You might find it really hard to break down. So stay away from anything that has added fiber. Go for the things that naturally Mother Nature gave fiber to. That's kind of the way I rule of thumb I go with.
Perfect. And what other things would you say to avoid? Like, obviously, I think probably one of the biggest things though is really about processed foods. And I know you mentioned earlier about, you know, following the complete in three rule. And I know we've talked about this on past podcasts before, but do you want to just remind our listeners again, just quickly, what the complete in three is, just so that for anyone who had missed it previously, or just as like a quick reminder?
For sure. Complete in three is basically, it's our super easy kind of rule of thumb when you're creating a meal to balance blood sugar. So you want to keep your blood sugar balanced, because those spikes, the ups and the downs, not only is it really hard on our body, it causes you to gain weight. It also causes emotional stress. So we will always want to keep our blood sugar nice and even. So we always focus, our complete and three rule is to have a protein, fiber, like a fibrous carb, and a fat with every meal. And the reason, again, going back to it, is that carbohydrates have that impact, that huge impact on blood sugar. So when you have a fibrous carb, it slows down the digestion. It's going to keep you fuller longer. And then also when you mix that with the protein and the fat, again, it's also, you know, slowing it down. This is going to keep your blood sugar stable. It's also going to help you to lose weight, because you're not going to be overeating. And again, keeping those blood sugar levels stable, they have so much to do with how our body, because it's not necessarily just calories that we eat. It's the way we eat our food that also affects the way our body processes stuff. So, you know, like that's why when you eat things just like Doritos on their own, yes, they might just have 400 calories. But if you ate 400 calories that was a complete and three approved, they would break down different in the body and give you different results. So again, complete in three is just protein, fibrous carb, and fat. So, you know, always look for a fibrous carb that has at least 5 grams of fiber at each meal.
Is there any kind of like chart or anything? Is there any kind of chart or anything that you recommend that maybe has like a breakdown of like for example, earlier when you were talking about how blackberries and raspberries, one cup equals X amount of 8 grams of fiber. Is there any kind of chart or anything like that that you know of that exists that could help people understand like for real whole foods? Because really, I mean, if you're looking at staying away from processed foods are the ones that usually have the breakdown of like 27 grams of carbs. 20 of them is fiber or whatever. Like they'll usually have it because it's processed and it has to have it on the packaging label. But for real, like real food that doesn't have a label to it, is there any kind of chart that you know of, or do you just recommend sort of Googling it and kind of tracking it and getting to know sort of your real foods?
Well, yeah, I can post some links on the blog for sure. And my whole like stance always on food and eating, you know, because we get a lot of questions, right, about like what exactly should I eat to lose weight? And I find we've turned it into such a stressful kind of obsession in our society, when really, if you just get back to eating intuitively, like when you're hungry, eating real food and just thinking a protein, like a fibrous carb and a fat in the sense of real whole foods, like as long as you're going with real whole foods, you're going to get that balance. But yeah, I'll definitely post so you can kind of see what, you know, to get an idea of which ones would be higher fiber choices.
I think it's a good idea if there is something like an infographic or something. I think it'd be really helpful for a lot of people.
Oh yeah, because fiber, it's so important. Like, and it's one of those things that once you start eating a diet that has more fiber in it, you're gonna see a lot of changes in your poop. in the way that you eliminate, in the way that you feel. Like so many people are constipated. It's crazy. I remember when we were doing the women's show a couple years
ago. Or they're really bloated all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times that bloated is things that are, you know, obviously something irritating the gut or something stuck in there. But like, I remember when we did the women's show a couple years ago in Toronto, and we were next to a laxative booth, and they were giving away free laxatives that they were saying were, they were like healthy laxatives, which anything that forces your body to do a process should not be taken regularly. You know what I mean? Like even all natural laxatives like senna, which is a herb that promotes pooping, you don't want to be on that for a long term. Your body should know how to do its job, you know, like get rid of stuff. Anyways, this laxative booth had a lineup around the entire friggin' show. It was crazy. for free laxatives. And I was like, oh my, and I was trying to get people to come over to our booth and just be like, just eat more fiber, drink more water. Like, you know what I mean? You don't need to, but we've become so accustomed to relying on a pill or a quick fix instead of making the lifestyle change. And that's again, what we're hoping out of this podcast, that Susie, who's listening to this or anybody else listening to it, is really, you know, you're starting to understand things a little bit more, or maybe we spark something that you'll make a change. Laxatives are actually, like, last thing I'm going to say about laxatives, and then we'll wrap this up. But laxatives are actually, like, the number, I think it's number 2 on the list of over-the-counter drugs that are sold. And, like, I think it's, like, a $2.8 billion industry or something like that. Like, that's a lot of backed-up people.
That's crazy.
I know. Yeah.
It's that's like, super crazy. I had no idea it was such a big market.
It is. It's a big market. You can tell I have a little poop obsession. Okay, so let's just wrap this up today. So Susie, I really hope that this answered your question about fiber. And you're going to start to eat a mixture now of soluble and insoluble fiber, lots of water, avoiding the processed fibers that, you know, Fiber One bars and all that crap. And yeah, just really, really try to get that 30 to 40 grams a day, which will be super easy if you are, if you're eating real whole foods. So Amanda, what's your biggest takeaway from today?
My biggest takeaway is probably just to eat your fiber and don't ignore your poop.
That's so funny. That's actually going to be my biggest takeaway. My biggest takeaway was, look in the toilet, even though it doesn't really necessarily have to do with fiber, but start off by doing, you know, look in the toilet after you go to the bathroom and just start doing a little literal gut check. Think about what your poops are like. How often do you go? You should be going. Ideally, they say, you know, pretty much almost after every meal, because you should be, the transit time should be coming from the meal before. But just kind of do a little self-analysis, and then also think about how much fiber you're getting throughout the day as it is right now, and start to add a little bit to each meal. Okay, awesome. So we're going to wrap this up. No more poop and fiber talk. So chicks, of course, remember you can always get a hold of us at info@fitchicks.ca if you have any questions. We also have our Facebook page, Facebook is at FitChicks Bootcamp, Twitter, Instagram at FitChicks, and yeah, we love your questions. Please drop us a line. And for anyone who is in Ontario, we also have our FitChicks retreat coming up. So November 4th to 6th, we are at Horseshoe Resort in Barrie, and we have an awesome weekend long where we will talk a lot about fiber, but it's an awesome weekend long of fitness, nutrition, wellness, fun. It's all chicks, and it's amazing. So we'd love to have you guys. Okay. Have an amazing day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.